The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in for the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his clothes, for he was stripped for work, and sprang into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish lying on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go." This he said to show by what death he was to glorify God. And after this he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Georgina, you're to have a children's message, but I don't see too many children here, so I guess you're off the hook. Just like those fish. Bear with me if I stop to have a drink of water. I've been fighting a cold for the last 2 weeks or so, and it doesn't seem to want to disappear. In the small town near where I grew up, there was an old man whose name was Pat Cantor. Pat was an interesting old codger. He was the local blacksmith, and he had a shop right at the end of Main Street. And that's where all the local farmers went to have their plowshares sharpened, or where they took their other tools that needed repair. Pat also had a small, rustic cabin on a lake just a short distance out of town. And some days when you went to his shop to have something repaired, you'd find the door closed. And on the door was a sign that said, "Gone fishing." Pat didn't seem to be concerned about losing his customers. He knew that these fellows would be back the next day to see if he was there then. If the fish were biting, if the day was a nice day, Pat would be out on that lake in his little boat, smoking his pipe and trying to catch some fish. Gone fishing. Good Friday had come and gone. Easter had passed. And now Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, James, and John, and two of the other disciples returned to their boats once again. But for them, it wasn't a matter of getting away from the shop. For them, it was back to business as usual, back to where they had been 3 years earlier. Just 3 years ago, Jesus had called Peter and some of the other disciples, called them from their boats, and they had left all of that behind to follow him. But now he had died, he'd been buried, and he had been raised. And it seems like they really didn't fully understand just what was going on. And so they elected to return to their past, to go back to their boats once again. And it was there in the midst of that ordinary life of the past that Jesus appeared to them once again. It's there that he feeds them. It's there that he reminds them of their mission. And so for us too, the risen Christ often comes to us in the ordinary. He comes to feed us and to nourish us. And then he sends us out on a mission. Jesus had suffered, he had died, he'd been buried, and he'd been raised. And now it seems that the disciples just weren't quite sure what to do. They weren't quite sure what to do in light of the resurrection. They weren't sure what to do after all the breathtaking events of the last days. And so Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And some of the other disciples respond, "We'll go with you." Fishing, we ask? Hadn't Jesus called them out of their boats? Hadn't he said, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people"? And yet, here they are back on the Sea of Tiberias, fishing for fish. Probably feeling frustrated and confused by the bewildering sequence of events that had taken place since that last meal that they had together there in that upper room. Now they seek comfort in the only thing that they really understand. They go back to their boats, back to the lake, back to fishing. And it's there, in the ordinary event of life, that the risen Christ appears to them. In their struggling, in their doubts, Jesus comes. He comes to them right where they are. And notice he doesn't confront them. He doesn't scold them for going back to their boats, to going back to something familiar like fishing. He accepts them. They see him from the boat, standing there on the shore, but at first they don't recognize him. They've been fishing all night, and when the stranger standing on the shore says to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They say, "No." And then he tells them to cast their net on the right side of the boat. And amazingly, they do what he says. It would have been so easy for Peter or one of the others to tell the stranger to mind his own business. After all, they were fishermen. They knew what they were doing. Fishing was their business. They didn't need someone telling them what to do. But they listened, and the results were amazing. Fish, masses of fish, too great to pull aboard, having to be dragged behind the boat. It was amazing. It was a miracle. And then, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that would be John, the one to whom Jesus had entrusted his mother from the cross, John recognizes who it is. He says to Peter, "It's the Lord." And immediately Peter does something that you wouldn't expect a fisherman to do. He lets go of the net. He abandons that huge catch of fish and he jumps into the water. And he does the 100-meter crawl till he gets to the shore. There, in the ordinary event of life, fishing on the Sea of Tiberias, Jesus appeared to those seven disciples. And what's interesting is that that appearance is so much like so many of the other appearances that happened after his resurrection. Mary is sitting at the tomb. She turns around, and there's a stranger standing there. She thinks it's the gardener until he speaks her name, and then she knows. She knows that it's Jesus. All of the disciples, except for Thomas, are gathered in a room. The door is locked. And suddenly, Jesus stands there in their midst. A week later, they're in that room again with the door locked. This time, Thomas is with them. And once again, Jesus comes and he stands in their midst. Two disciples are walking along the road, going on their way to Emmaus. And they're talking with a stranger as they walk along. And then he blesses them. And he breaks bread with them. And they realize that this stranger is Jesus. Later, he comes and stands in their midst and asks for a piece of fish. And now here in our gospel reading, just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. Notice that the risen Christ never approaches the disciples from on high. He never comes to them with flag waving and fanfare. Rather, he appears in the midst of people, in the midst of real life, breaking bread or eating fish. There's a delightful little story told of a young boy who decided he wanted to go and find God. And so he got his little backpack out and he put a couple of Twinkies in his backpack and a couple of cans of root beer, and he set off. He walked a few blocks and he came to a park. He saw a little old lady sitting on a bench in that park. She was feeding the pigeons. And he went and he sat on the other end of that bench and watched. After a little while, he pulled one of the Twinkies out of his backpack and he began to eat it. And he looked at the little old lady and he pulled another Twinkie out of his backpack and he offered it to her. And with a big smile on her face, she accepted it. She tore it open and she began to eat as well. Some time passed and he pulled out a can of root beer, popped it open and began to drink. And again, he took the other can and he offered it to the lady next to him. And with a big smile on her face, she took it and opened it and began to drink as well. Well, after a while, the little boy decided it was time to go back home. So he walked in the door and his mom asked him, "Where have you been? What have you been up to?" "Oh," he said, "I was having a snack in the park with God. And you know, she has the most beautiful smile." Well, the woman returned to her home. And her son was there, and he said, "Mom, what have you been doing? Where have you been today?" She said, "Oh, I've been in the park. I've been having a little snack with God. And you know, he's much younger than I expected." And so it is with us too. Jesus doesn't come to us in the spectacular. He comes to us not with fanfare, but rather in the plain and the ordinary. The sacred moments, the moments of miracle, are often everyday moments. They are the moments which, if we look only with our eyes or listen only with our ears, reveal only the gardener or a stranger standing on the shore or a meal like any other meal or a snack in the park. But if we listen with our hearts, if we listen with our whole being and imagination, what we may see is Jesus himself. What we may hear is the first faint sound of a voice somewhere deep within us saying that there is purpose in this life, in our lives, whether we can understand it or not. And we may discover that this purpose follows behind us through all of our doubts and all of our fears, through all of our indifference and our boredom. And we may find that it leads us to that moment when suddenly we know for sure that everything makes sense, because everything is in the hands of God, one of whose names is forgiveness and another is love. This is what those stories about Jesus coming back to life mean. Because Jesus was the love of God. In the end, not all of the cruelty and blindness of humankind could kill him. And so he comes too in the simple, in the ordinary. He comes in those words of forgiveness that we speak to one another. He comes in those persons who put their arms around us to comfort us and to console us. He comes in the innocent love of a child. He comes to the poor and the needy. He comes in the wounded and the suffering who reach out to us for love and compassion. He comes not in the blaze of unearthly light, not in the midst of an earthquake or a thunderstorm, not in the throes of some kind of religious daydream, but rather in the ordinary and the everyday. He comes standing on the shore. He can even come to us when we're gone fishing. He comes to feed us and to nourish us. John tells us, Jesus said to them, "Come and have some breakfast." And then John says, Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. And he did the same with the fish. Imagine what it must have meant for those disciples after a night of fruitless labor, the fire crackling amid the chill of crackling away, taking the chill out of the early morning air, and the smell of fresh fish sizzling on the fire. But it was more than just something physical. Here Jesus affirms for them the reality of his sustaining presence. Here he calls them to eat and to fortify themselves for their mission, not just with food, but with the sure and certain knowledge of his presence that will sustain them as they continue their mission. We live today in the time of beyond those post-resurrection appearances, beyond the opportunity to have breakfast with the Lord by the sea. And yet he still comes to feed us and to nourish us. He comes in the word that is preached. He comes in the sacraments that are administered. He comes in the fellowship of a believing community. God's truth and God's love are revealed to us again and again. To us who sometimes seem to forget what God did for us yesterday, the risen Lord appears again and again in the commonplace and in the ordinary. The disciples were reminded there on that shore of their mission. The net filled to overflowing reminded them of their call to be fishers of women and men. The story that Christianity tells us is a story of sinless life given away in love. The greatest miracle that Christianity has to proclaim is that the love that suffered the agonies on the hill outside of the city was indeed the love of God. It was the love of God for all of creation, a love without limits. And that is the love that we are called to tell the world. That is the love that we are called to emulate and to live in our own lives.